Good afternoon. We're back with another episode of the Sean Moe Hoops podcast. We are back after a lengthy hiatus. Our last podcast was the day before the NBA draft, where myself and Michael Weisenberg did a lottery mock of the 2019 draft. And I'm pleased to welcome Michael Weisenberg back, kind of kick off August and getting back into the swing of things. So I know there's not a whole lot going on, but there are a few topics for us to touch. So first of all, Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Sean, and there may not be like a ton going on now, but there's a lot that we can cover since the NBA draft happened.
Yeah, there have been a few things that happened, especially on the high school scene with the whole July recruiting period. Some other big news, some 2020 mock drafts. The college international season starting to kick into gear with a lot of colleges traveling overseas. But first things first, the basketball tournament, TBT, had their championship tonight. The Ohio State team took down the somewhat laden Marquette team in Chicago. And I was curious, Michael, if you watched any of it or kind of kept in touch with what was going on with the TBT throughout. So just kind of curious your thoughts on that.
I unfortunately did not watch any of the TBT. I kind of planned to possibly watch this championship game, but unfortunately did not get a chance. So if you could tell me how Elgin Cook looked and what the finals were like, I would love to know.
Well, before I get to how your Oregon Duck looked, was it a lack of interest, a lack of star talent, or just more other basketball stuff that was more interesting to you?
I have a lot of stuff going on, obviously. And I've been writing quite a bit for Rookie Wire and trying to follow everything there. And unfortunately did not get a chance to watch the basketball tournament this year.
Fair enough. I did not watch a whole lot of it either. I tuned in for the second half of the championship game with $2 million on the line. I know the team that had won the past few years, Overseas Elite, had been upset in the finals, but was curious to watch really Ohio State and a bunch of guys that used to watch a lot, John Diebler, David Lady, you know, and a few other guys, one of them being William Buford, who hit the game-winning free throws. But then you had the Marquette team with Elgin Cook, who did not go there, but several others, Darrell McNeil as one of the top players, Andrew Rousey, Travis Diener, how, you know, somehow he's still playing. I guess the main player, Aaron Kraft, who everybody knows. And overall, it was a pretty good game. Low scoring came down. It was close around the 60s. Marquette was up two before Ohio State went on their run, and John Diebler grabbed a steal up 2 points at the half court line. And it looked like, you know, he was moving in slow motion, but he got to the basket, got a layup without getting blocked, and put him up four before Buford sealed the deal. So the first championship for really a Big Ten team in any basketball type of event for a while. But it was interesting, but definitely not something that I would say was must-watch TV. So I'll swing that into the Rookie Wire, which you said you've been writing a lot for and have been putting out a lot of content. And one of the things you did put out pretty recently was your first 2020 mock draft. So I know just a few weeks, well, I guess a month and a half ago, we were talking about the 2019 draft. So I was curious about the process that went into the 2020 mock about 11 months out.
Yeah, we decided to do a mock draft. It was three people, Josh Riddell, Anish Nembhuri, and myself. Put together some big boards, and we just used cumulative scores and came up with a mock draft just for whatever those guys had seen, whatever I had seen. And luckily I've had a chance to see like at least, you know, a good amount of all the players on the mock draft. So I was familiar with all of the names and have seen more than others. And as we know, a lot of things can change. Guys get better, guys aren't necessarily as good as maybe we thought they were. But yeah, we put together a list of at least a number of guys who should, you know, be on everybody's watch for the 2020 draft and possibly drafts moving forward.
So you have number one, Cole Anthony, current UNC point guard, looking to take over the reins for Coby White. So I'm curious, what made Cole your number one pick?
Yeah, so he was actually the unanimous number one. Everybody had him one. To me, every time I saw the class, I just felt like he was kind of, you know, that top guy. Getting to see him, even at USA Basketball when he wasn't playing, it just seemed like he was a real leader. He shot lights out, like, in drills, and just kind of was a guy that everybody seemed to look towards. And at Hoop Summit, you just saw, like, you know, he has pretty special offensive, like, an offensive skill package, great handle, shooting ability to get to the basket. So yeah, I think he's one of the more versatile, like, offensive point guards to come around in a while.
So the one of the knocks on him is, I would say, his first step has not proven to be lightning quick, even though he's one of the most explosive athletes around, and there's usually Instagram dunks that he's doing every day that blow up. So what are your thoughts on that, since you did get to see him in April?
Yeah, I feel like he's much better at change of speed than, you know, just blowing by people with his first step. But I feel like he gets to the basket enough as is. I feel like he gets to the free throw line. I think he's going to have a variety of ways of scoring. And he's not necessarily, like, as quick as a Coby White, but I think he's a better shooter, and his, like, pull-up game is a lot more refined at a similar stage. And I think he finds ways to create space.
Well, I would agree on the last part, and that he's much more athletic from a jumping standpoint than Coby, but shooting-wise, I'm not gonna give Cole that one. I'm going with Coby on the shooting front. But
really, like,
number
even,
three,
like,
and four, you had bounce? What's that?
Even off the bounce, like off the dribble,
off the catch
maybe, but off the dribble, I think Cole is, like, really refined there.
I won't disagree
and
with
I
that.
I think that's very important.
If I have somebody if somebody's shooting a three-pointer, I'm taking Coby all day on that one.
Okay.
So we'll see. But you had two foreign or two international guys going three and four, with a VG from Maccabi Tel Aviv and then Theo Maladon from France. So I was curious if you could provide some high-level thoughts on those guys.
Yeah, so Danny Abdija, he plays for Maccabi Tel Aviv. He Serbian descent, and he had a tremendous European U20 FIBA tournament. And the year before, when he was only 17, he made the all-tournament team for the U20s, and Israel won the gold medal. This year, he won the tournament MVP, kind of like a point forward, played some great defense, averaged over two blocks and two steals. His shooting is a little streaky, but he has a really good feel for the game and seems to be able to, you know, create his own shot as well. So, yeah, somebody who can stretch the floor just based off of his passing ability, good rebounder. So definitely somebody that we were all pretty high on. And I think, like, possibly there were, like, a few different ratings that I'm not even sure if anybody had him number three, but I think some of the other ratings were one of the reasons why he ended up in that spot. And Theo Maladon played a really nice role for Astro in France, and they won the Jeep Elite Championship. Really good, like, you know, good off the bounce, good off the catch. Has some athleticism to him as well. He's about 6 foot five. And always looked up to Tony Parker. So he plays for his team in France. And now I'm guessing he'll have more of a chance to possibly work with Tony Parker with his retirement.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see the development of both of those guys. I'm kind of jumping ahead down to the third page. I'm passing over Trey Jones going in the lottery at number 12. And
again, that was definitely because of some other guys possibly not being on the list.
So right now it's looking like I'm counting four Duke guys in the first round with Trey Jones, Wendell Moore, and then you have Vernon Carey and Matthew Hurt towards the end. I think both Carey and Hurt will be interesting. Carey's obviously, you know, would have been a great big guy in the 90s. So it'll be interesting to see how he turns out. And then you have Matthew Hurt, a great catch and shoot shooter, but I think he could struggle a little bit to start the year with the athleticism and strength of college basketball.
Yeah, it's possible.
One guy I'm curious about that I don't know much about, because I definitely didn't watch a whole lot of SEC action last year, but Isaiah Joe. I know the Stepien wrote one of the longest articles I've ever read on a player, which is pretty detailed and really good. But
you did read it, though.
I made it through about halfway.
Okay.
I was curious your thoughts on the rising sophomore.
On Isaiah Joe?
Yep.
Yeah. I wrote this before Cole's. I had even read Cole's article. I just saw they come out with it. And we had made the list before Cole's article had come out. But, I was glad Isaiah was on so I could kind of pinpoint that and just all the work that Cole's Wicker puts into his articles for the Stepien. He's one of my favorite writers to read, even though this was a 44-minute long piece, according to the read time. And, yeah, I managed to get all the way through it. And he is just – he's a fantastic shooter. Like, he has a really aesthetically pleasing shot, and he's able to shoot in a number of different ways. He had a few games where he had, like, multiple three-pointers. I think, like, a three or so games over seven three-pointers. And he has a pretty solid feel for the game as well. He's just really skinny right now. So they list him at 6'5", 167. I'm guessing – I think they are one of those schools, like Arkansas is one of those schools that kind of is slow to update their player weights. So I'm guessing he's put on a little bit more. But, yeah, just he was also able, you know, to shoot pretty well off of the bounce. And that's something that, you know, is heavily emphasized with guards, being able to, you know, create your own shot off of the dribble. But he struggles finishing around the basket, doesn't have much, you know, bounce to him. He only had two dunks as a freshman. And he has a good defensive feel, but sometimes he has a tough time with that point of attack defense. But, yeah, there certainly are things with him that, you know, could possibly translate to being a really nice 3-and-D guy at the next level.
All right, well, definitely a guy to keep an eye on. Two guys that won't get a lot of, I guess, viewing by the average college fan, but you'll probably be able to catch on Twitter or Instagram all the time, is RJ Hampton, who is going to the New Zealand Breakers, and then LaMelo, and right now you have him at number 7, and then LaMelo Ball is going over to Australia, so they'll be competing against each other a few times. I think you have him number 15, and listed at 6'8", which is absolutely crazy, because it feels like just yesterday I was watching him as a freshman at City of Palm just jack up 23 pointers, and he could, you know, barely get the ball to the basket. And now he's 6'8" and dominating the Drew League every day. But do you think, you know, does their performance matter at all, given what we saw, you know, this year with players such as Darius Bazley not even playing and probably going higher, a lot higher than they would have if they did?
I don't know. I'm not sure Darius Bazley would have dropped if he had gone to college. It's certainly possible. But, yeah, these guys are actually going to be playing. So, they're going to have, like, a kind of statistical profile for people to check out. Not that they don't have a lot from their AAU days, and Melo, like, you know, has plenty from JBA to his play in Lithuania. So I think it'll matter, but I also think that they both are going to get like a pretty fair amount of playing time. I'm really interested to see how they do in comparison to guys like Terrence Ferguson and Brian Bowen, who both kind of had bench roles on their teams. And Bowen, I felt, had an even bigger role than Terrence Ferguson, but, you know, Terrence Ferguson has the shooting profile, the defense that, kind of projected a little better than what Brian Bowen, I guess, brought to the table, or what NBA teams feel he brings to the table. With both of these guys, you know, they can handle the ball. Melo, like, I think maybe much lower than we give him credit for on our mock draft. I had him top 10, but still like a bit of skepticism there, just with pretty high turnover. His shot is a huge question mark, but yeah, at this point he's 6'8". He has point guard skills. He's a great passer. He's getting more athletic. I never imagined him being bigger than Lonzo, because at the time, you know, when they were coming up together, LaMelo was not even 6 feet tall yet. And I guess genetics obviously, you know, came to the forefront. And now he's taller than Lonzo, and he looks like he could be pretty darn good. And I know people in Australia are really excited about him. And RJ Hampton was playing in the EYBL in Georgia and just absolutely dominated there. He's always been a guy that people have been really intrigued with, because he's really quick. He can get through like tight spaces, get to the paint, get to the basket. Shooting is another thing where he's a little inconsistent, but he has a little bit of size to him as well. He's about 6'5" and some athleticism. So yeah, those are both guys that I think who will play pretty well. And I do think, like, you know, in order to go as high as they may be projected right now, they probably need to at least play pretty decently. So yeah, that's what I'll put out there.
All right. Last 2020 question for you, but this time last year, RJ Barrett was loved by almost everybody except for yours truly, before really the Duke season began and the Zion hype took off. Is there anybody that you think, not that will turn into Zion, but is there anybody that you think could conceivably jump up, you know, that's outside of, say, the top five? If you had to pick one person that could potentially turn into that lock number one pick, is there anybody out there right now?
If I knew, then I probably would have had them pretty high. But the guy that we have number five, I know you put it at five because you probably were thinking about this guy, but James Wiseman is a guy who I know that NBA people loved at Hoop Summit. I think loved throughout the All-Star process. The guy has a body you think of when you think of like traditional centers. Like, his body looks like what you would think, like, you know, a young David Robinson might have looked like, probably even bigger, like definitely bigger than what David Robinson was as a college freshman, because I know he got a lot bigger as time went on. Moves very well, probably not like the lateral freak that David Robinson was, but he just moves really well. He is able to, like, you know, get off the ground really quickly, has a great like second jump also. was shooting pretty well. The question with him was always his energy level. And then there are tiny nuances. I know there are lots of videos going around of him jumping at everything and stuff like that. But I'm not sure that's not something that can possibly be fixed or like kind of coached with time. And I'll give Anthony Hardaway a chance to coach him in college and see how it goes. I know he did coach him at times in high school, but not during his senior year where these videos are probably all from. But he's a guy that it's hard for me to completely write him off. I know there are a lot of people that, you know, kind of feel like his feel for the game isn't tremendous and that, you know, he might be one of those guys who you know, may go a little bit higher just based off of that prestige and based off of the physical tools. But he can play as well. So, yeah, I like, there's no Zion Williamson in this draft, but I think James Wiseman, at least I'm willing to give him, like, a possibility of having a really strong freshman year at Memphis.
All right. Well, definitely they have a lot of talent in Memphis. It'll be interesting to see how all those pieces fit together. Moving on to the current high school class, we had today or yesterday, Evan Mobley commit to USC, the number one prospect currently by 24/7, 6'11", 200 pounds out of California. His older brother is going to be a freshman. His dad was hired this past season as an assistant coach, so no surprise that he went there. But you being familiar with a lot of high school guys and with July now past us, so the Peach Jam and all the USA and all those events, you know, two things. One, want to go down the list of the top eight or nine and just kind of get your, like, quick, you know, maybe, like, first few words that come to mind about the player, but then also talk about down in Florida, you have kind of two super teams forming with IMG and Mount Verde with the amount of talent that both of those have. In addition to out in California, Sierra Canyon with Brandon Boston and Zaire Williams. But first things first, just want to kind of get your initial impression or analysis, you know, in terms of one to two sentences on a few of the guys. So we'll start with Evan Mobley. And just wanted to get your kind of initial take on him right now.
Moves exceptionally well for a 7-footer. Has a face-up game, can score close to the basket, great length as well, ball skills at his size, good passer. To me, when I saw him at USA Basketball minicamp this year, I felt like he outplayed James Wiseman, which again, James only played one session, but to me, he was a really impressive prospect. And I think if he would have reclassified, then he would have had a chance to go number one in this year's class.
Yeah, definitely, you know, 6'11", really quick off his feet, great timing, can run the floor really easily. I think he kind of, at least the times I've seen him, kind of has a James Wiseman where you see him and you see all the potential, but you're not often getting the production a lot of the time. Although I know he has produced on the USA circuit and elsewhere, but, you know, there've been a lot of other times I've seen him and he hasn't fully shown, you know, his number one abilities, but yeah, you know, size and athletic ability, that will hopefully come. So a guy I haven't seen a whole lot of, but is currently ranked number two is somebody you're probably familiar with, but McCurr Maker. And now, is this Thon Maker's brother?
It's his cousin.
Cousin. All right.
Yeah.
Is he the number two guy to you?
I think there's a number one guy that we're not even getting in those first.
We'll get to him
two.
In a second.
But yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But I don't know. He's actually a guy I haven't seen a ton of. I've seen video of him and, like, you know, some tape from his AAU play with Dream Vision. But, certainly intriguing. It seems a lot stronger than Thon and Mature were. at his age. And yeah, he's a little bit older for class, but nothing too crazy. I think that he is kind of in that, you know, maybe bypassing college. It just doesn't seem like college is in the cards for him. And I'm not sure if he'll have the ability to enter this year and possibly be like that post-grad kind of age. I know that he was denied eligibility to Orange Lutheran for his like senior year. So he's going to a school called Pacific Academy. And yeah, he has great ball skills at his size. I saw a video of him going up against Evan Mobley that was very intriguing. And seems to have added a lot to his game.
Yeah, I saw him pretty recently down in Southern California, the Diaz tournament. And, you know, I definitely agree with you on a lot of the aspects. I was surprised he was number two and, you know, definitely don't see that continuing in the future. So I wasn't not a huge fan of Thon's cousin, but a guy I am a fan of, and I assume who you were alluding to as number one would be Cade Cunningham. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Is there any chance he does not go to Oklahoma State?
I think there's a chance, but I would put my money on Oklahoma State with his brother being an assistant coach there. And with Cade, he is near 6'7", has great length, like a super strong body, and has tremendous ball skills for his size, is able to get to his spots. Some people, the name that gets brought up with him a lot is Brandon Roy. And, you know, certainly, like, if Brandon Roy were at a high school age, I'm thinking he might not even be as far along as Cade Cunningham. Certainly has a lot of work to do to get to the point where Brandon Roy was when he was in the pros. But, yeah, there just is a lot to like there. When I saw him at USA minicamp, like, I think he was the camp leader in assists. So, you know, a guy that you can really make your primary initiator at times. And then if you want him to score, he has a lot of ability to get to the hoop. And even some shooting upside as well. So, yeah, to me, he is looking like the number one guy in this class right now.
All right. Well, a guy who I thought was number one in his class this time last year, so a year ago, who I really liked, was Jalen Green. What are your thoughts on him?
I still think he's very good. I think he's near the top of the class. A lot of ways to score for him as well. Just kind of like a microwave scorer at times, like can really get on a hot streak, has that ability to shoot from deep as well. Really good athlete. Doesn't have like the physical tools or the feel of the Cade Cunningham, though he's probably more explosive. Just like, you know, from a maybe like standing jump standpoint. But yeah, I still like Jalen Green. He was pretty instrumental in Team Why Not getting to the Peach Jam final. And, he played pretty well for the U19s at times also. I'm pretty sure he was on that team also. But, yeah, the year before he was on the U17s and he was named tournament MVP. And, strong scoring guard. I still feel like he's one of the top players in the class.
Yeah, really quick first step. Definitely, I'd say the most athletic of the guards. But two other guys just to bring up, and I'm going to flip-flop the order. So one is Zaire Williams, who's probably my favorite guy to watch in the class, which means he'll most likely end up at Duke. What are your thoughts on Zaire, who didn't really play a whole lot in the U19, but I think has a lot of potential and will now be playing his senior year at Sierra Canyon.
Yeah, he's a guy I actually would love to know more about. I haven't seen a ton of him. What I have seen of him, he looks impressive. Looks like he can shoot. Looks like he can has good ball skills, like for a really nice size wing. And I had heard that he played well at the U19s also, even in limited time.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was a guy that was entering into the spring, was looking to prove himself on the EYBL circuit, and definitely did that, even though he really only played, you know, through the early part and didn't play in July since he was focused on U19s. But I think a guy that is a really, really good shooter for his size and his age, and is just getting better off the dribble and athletically. So will be, you know, fun to watch him. Fun to watch him this year on the traveling circus that will be his team with LeBron and Dwayne Wade's son, which leads me to one of your favorite players, Scotty Barnes, who is headed to Montverde Academy. So off the top of my head, Cade Cunningham was already there, and now they're adding Scotty Barnes, who was in school in Florida, as well as Big Man, who's headed to Carolina, who had a really, really impressive summer as well. And then you also have Jalen Johnson going to Duke, who I think is probably one of the best passers in the class, headed to IMG Academy. So how do you think those two teams are starting to take shape as kind of these super teams on the high school level?
Yeah, I'm just like shocked by the amount of talent on both of those teams. They were already really stacked before they added two top 10, a top 10, 6'9" point forward prospect to the equation. I feel like Scotty Barnes, at least from the ESPN rankings, is ridiculously underranked at this point. To me, even without a jump shot, and I'm not completely convinced that he can't, you know, greatly improve that part of his game, but he just brings so much to the table. He's a great defender. He goes hard every time he's on the court. He is also a tremendous passer as well. I feel like he and Jalen Johnson have some similarity. Johnson's a better, has more shooting upside. And he might be the better pro prospect, not as long as Barnes, but definitely more springy than, Barnes at this point. But, I'm just, thanks to Prep Circuit, I have the, classes in front of me, and I think with the ESPN rankings next to them. So with Montverde right now, they have Cade Cunningham, who's number two prospect. Scotty Barnes, number 9. Moses Moody, number 24. Daron Sharp, UNC commit, number 34. Zeb Jackson, 75 in 2020. Then 2021, they have Langston Love, who's a player I've heard really good things about. I need to see a little bit more of him. 2022, they have Canadian Caleb Houston, who had a strong U16 for Canada. And Derek Whitehead, who was a player I liked a lot at USA Basketball minicamp of the underclassmen I saw there. As far as IMG, they have Jalen Johnson is the top guy on that team rankings wise at number 4. Jaden Springer is number 13. He was really good for IMG last year when they won the championship, and is one of the younger players in the 2020 high school class. Mark Williams, 7-footer from Virginia, Matt Morrell, Noah Farrakhan, then Musa Diabate, who just had a really nice U18 European Championship tournament for France. He's number 9 in the class of 2021. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, who I think might be 2022. They list him at 2021 here, but he's number 24. And then Jarius Walker, who is an absolute tank from the class of 2022. He was listed 6'5 and 230 pounds, a really good scorer, and got some rotation minutes last year for IMG. Both of those teams just ridiculously stacked with top-end talent who likely will all be playing at high major plus NCAA level.
So who do you have?
I have to go with Montverde. I love the combination of Cunningham and Barnes. I think you can just put the ball in both of those guys' hands. I think Daron Sharp is also like a really nice big for them. And Moses Moody is a wing who has like a 7-foot wingspan also. So, yeah, I go with them and just that top-end talent of Cunningham and Barnes. Even though IMG probably from a depth perspective might be even better.
Well, it'll definitely be interesting to see if and when those two teams match up. But to wrap it up, you got to spend some time at one of the top rookies basketball camps in Portland, Mitchell Robinson, who surprised a lot of people with his play. So he was up in Portland and you were at the camp. How did that go for you?
It was a great time. So Mitchell Robinson had a camp. And his agent, Mayor Zakai, lives in Portland. It was in the Wilsonville area, which is about, 20 minutes outside of Portland. And the kids just loved being there. They loved hanging around with Mitchell. He stayed after and signed everybody's autographs. They had a huge camp game of knockout, and it was hilarious watching Mitchell in line with all these little guys there. But yeah, I thought Mitchell also like had a tremendous NBA summer league. Just is a guy that is a athletic marvel at 7 feet. Just one of the most talented shot blockers to come into the league in quite a while. He averaged like 2.44 blocks per game, 161 block shots. He was playing 20.6 minutes per game and he was second in the NBA in block shots. He had a camp in Portland, like Wilsonville. He had the camp in Chalmette in, I guess that's near New Orleans, Louisiana. He just had one in Las Vegas on Saturday, and he is having one September 8th in Houston. If you have kids from 6 to 14, they're free camps. They get to hang out with an NBA player, which is something that I could have only dreamed about when I was a kid. And they get a lot of cool free gear. So definitely have to give a shout out to Mayor for having this happen here and to Mitchell Robinson for, being a really good sport and being great with the youth he had at his basketball camps.
All right. Well, sounds like a good time. And with that, we'll wrap up the podcast. Talk a little bit about the basketball tournament, some 2020 mock draft discussion, 2020 high school class, and some Mitchell Robinson talk. So will be a lot more, plus some college discussions going forward, and hopefully with some good guests. But first off, thanks again for coming on. Figured I had to have you back since it had been a while since I had recorded a podcast, and looking forward to seeing how 2020 shapes up both from a draft perspective as well as a high school perspective. So looking forward to chatting with you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks as always for having me on, Sean. I was really glad you had this right around the time I released the mock. And yeah, man, if you're ever looking for a guest, you definitely know you can hit me up so we can keep the Sean Mo Hoops podcast going, because we want to hear from you, man. I'm sure you've been busy too.
Have been busy, but good to be back on. And actually, one guy we didn't get to talk about, but we'll save that for next time, was a guy I saw, Elijah Fisher, one of the top rising sophomores, who's from your neck of the woods.
He's a freshman.
Canada, so rising freshman.
Yeah,
which is even crazier given what he was doing when I saw him at the Adidas camp. But we will save that for our next discussion. So thanks again for coming on. And you've been writing on the Rookie Wire, which is part of USA Today and has been producing a lot of good content, whether it's the mock drafts or any news that comes up. There's always an article. So definitely check that out and look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Sean.